Hey, this is Cindy Harmon with Real Walk. Did you know we now have a number where you can text me? It's a fun way to stay connected. If you have any questions or comments about an episode or just anything in general, I'd love to hear from you. The number is 662-597-1738. Hey, y'all. I am so excited about today's episode. Y'all, we've been talking about stories. Everybody has a story to tell. They have a story about, you know, being born and growing up and, you know, going to school and college or whatever your life story is. We all have those stories. But this season, we've been focusing on a spiritual story. Like, do you have that story? Like when Jesus came in and he transformed your life, like you're not the same person that you used to be. Yeah, that's a spiritual story. Today, I want you to hear from someone that I love with my whole heart. Y'all, we're going to hear from my husband, Randy Harmon. He recently got a chance to speak at our church, and I just really think he does a great job when he speaks. And y'all, I'll just tell you this real quick. We've been married almost 40 years. And the last, I would say probably the last 3 or 4 years, we have been so excited about the Lord. We have been on fire for God, I would say. I remember it was 2 years ago, May the 1st, almost 2 years ago. We have two services at our church, and he came to first service, and I was at first service. I was on worship that Sunday, happened to be, so I was there for both. Anyway, he left, and I thought, well, he's gone. But then at the end of second service, he came back, and he had shorts on. And I mean, it wasn't shorts weather. I said, why do you have shorts on? And he said, Cindy, I'm going to get baptized today. We were having baptisms that day. He said, I'm going to get baptized today. And I was like, well, okay. And he said, come on, you know, we've been talking about this. Let's just do this. And I'm so thankful for him and the way he leads me and the way he leads our family and how much he loves serving the Lord and how much he loves the Lord. So I want y'all just to pull up a chair, grab a cup of coffee, and just enjoy listening to Randy Harmon speak. Love y'all.
I was asked about 2 weeks ago about speaking, and I said, yes, I will. And I told TJ that I told him about 2 weeks ago, I said, I'm going to speak on November the 1st. And TJ said, are you speaking on the pulpit? And I said, yeah. He said, are you speaking or are you preaching? I said, you know, I don't know. And I thought about that. And I kind of got nervous on about what I had to speak on, and the Lord was laying this on my heart to speak about it. And I'm like, did I say I didn't want to preach because I'm ashamed? And I didn't want to own it. And I want y'all to have to think on that a little bit, but are you ashamed? Are you really embarrassed to say, I'm going to get up and preach for the Lord? And I said, Lord, I believe I can. So then I said, I believe I can say I'm going to preach. So I said, yes, Lord, I'll preach. And so then I got to looking at what I wanted to preach on, and Trent, he sang Over Broken Lives, and he sang No Place I'd Rather Be. And I've been trying to hunt words kind of to talk about that, and I couldn't really come up with nothing, and I started hunting in the scripture, and then the devil started dealing with me, and he's like, you can't, Randy, you can't go up there and start reading scripture and telling people what they need to do. You can't. That's going to be very hard for you. You're not capable of that. You're not the person that needs to be doing this. And I wrestled around with it. And y'all, I'm going to say one of them Brother Greg moments that he says he needs to be listening. But y'all, I quit listening to the devil. And I started talking to God. Mm. And when I quit listening to the devil, I was like, get back there, devil. Mm. God's talking to me. And I can tell people what God's telling me to say. It made more sense to me. And I said, I'm going to go forward with it. And I can preach it if I want to. I'm capable of doing that. and you're not gonna scare me away. And y'all, my first scripture that I was gonna read is in 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. And y'all, what I'm talking about here is no place I'd rather be. And I may say that several times. And y'all know the song, but it's no place I'd rather be. That's kind of what I'm talking about. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. And I'll get on to it. But it says, For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. And y'all, that hit a note with me. As a father deals with his own children. Monday I stayed in the house, it's raining and stuff, and y'all, I was in there, I built me a fire, and I was in there talking and stuff, and I talked about this, and I got to thinking about my children, my kids is going to be here, and what can I say to encourage them? If I was going to say something, and encourage them also as I talked to y'all, and I got all up in my emotions, and I was up in there, and I'm like, Lord, it's just help me with all this, but I understand, I'm going to read this. And verse 12, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And what I'm talking about right here, what I underline under this right here is worthy of God. Worthy of God. And y'all, I don't think we use that a lot in the things that we say to each other. I was thinking about Cindy. Every time somebody starts to leave the house or something, she'd say, watch for deer, watch for deer. She always said, watch for deer. But I've never heard her say, be worthy of God. Be worthy of God. We don't use that language a lot, worthy of God. But I was thinking, if I was going to give my kids or anybody some advice on what to do, I'd say live a life worthy of God. Live a life worthy of God. He's already set before us and done what we need to do. He has saved us and brought us into here, and he's live a life worthy of God. And then I got thinking, is it possible to live worthy of God? Can we actually live worthy of God? And what is living worthy of God? And I got thinking about it, and I said, if you're willing to do God's will in your life, what God's will is for your life, then you can live a life worthy for God. Now, them two go hand in hand. If you're willing to do what God's will is for your life, whatever God's will is for your life, then you can live a life worthy of God. And that takes me to 1 Peter 4:1-2. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. And y'all, that's to live for the will of God. And y'all, what the will of God is for in my life, It's different than what it is for anybody else. I don't know what the will of God for is in your life. You know that. You're the only one that knows that. Can't nobody else. I can't come and tell you what the will of God is for your life. But I know what the will of God is for my life. And am I willing to do what the will of God is for my life? And I don't want to get ahead of myself. But you know how a lot of people says that they just can't find themselves. I just don't know what God wants from me. I can't really find what I need to do. I don't think they're really searching for the will of God in their lives. They're searching for other things. They're looking for other things in their life to fulfill. They're not looking for the will of God. They're looking for other things to fill them. And Ephesians 5:17, Paul says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is for you. And that's Paul talking right there. He says, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is for you. For your what? God, do we seek God? What do we seek God for in the will? God, we should, before we change jobs, we should seek God's will for that. And y'all, I'm preaching to me right now. This is me. This right here has touched me trying to get this ready. Your marriage. Y'all, we try to fix our marriage with everything else. And all we got to do is just sit down and pray and say, Lord, what is the will for my marriage? What do you want for in my marriage? I'll get to this in a little bit, but most of the time we won't sit down and take the time and let God speak to us.
That's right.
And we do what we want to do
rather than
that. There's a lot of people right now, y'all, this applies a lot. I've got kids and grandkids, and how to raise your kids. Y'all, we look in the internet. We look to other people. We look for we read about it. We ask about it, and we have the Bible,
the
will of God. What God's willing for us to do for our kids, if we will get into the Bible and start reading, and really speak and let the Lord speak to us. And y'all, this is a lot. This I can say this because I know, because I jumped the gun so many times. Your friends. And y'all, I was going to speak on the vine. And it's I am. And Brother Greg, he covered all the I ams. And I'd already been looking at I ams. And I got on your friends. And I'm like, I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. And you are the branches. And the Father, he has to prune us sometimes. And I think sometimes in friends, do we really search God for who we have for friends? And how do we pick our friends? Do we just pick them because they fit into our lifestyle? Do we pick them because they build us up? Do we just pick them because they're fun? Do we hang out with people just because they're fun, or do we search God's will for who we hang out with? Very important. That's a lot to that right there, y'all. A lot to saying who our friends are. Our friends can really have a big influence on our godly life. And I'm trying to live a life worthy for God, doing the will of God. Our finances. And y'all, Brother Greg, he touches on that a lot. And I'm guilty. Y'all, I have come in the house before, and I'm liable to say, Cindy, I just bought a house. And she'll say, did you pray about it? Like, no. Did you ask me about it? No, I just bought it.
He's preaching. He's preaching the truth.
And did I look for guidance? Do we look for guidance in things like that? Do we expect the Lord to bless what we've done?
That's right.
When we just jump into it. And it's simple. A simple sitting down and saying, Lord, help me with this right here. I need your help. I need you to teach me what to do right here. And y'all, this is something right here that I'm working on right now. We covered this the last time I spoke. And it's speaking and being silent. And y'all, that's two things that I'm talking to myself on. Do we search? And you say, that's silly. You don't need to ask God how to help you when to speak. You don't need to ask God how to be quiet. Oh, yes.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yes. We need to get up every morning before our feet hit the floor and say, God, help me with the things that I've got to say to each other, everybody. And Lord, help me know when to shut my mouth.
Amen.
I mean, there's a lot to that. So many times I just shut my mouth, things would have been good. And we said, seek God's wisdom for that. Seek God's will. Worthy of God. Worthy of God. Matthew 12:50. For whoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Y'all, Jesus was teaching in Matthew and And his mother and his brothers decided they wanted to go see him. And he had, I don't think he had, Wet Red hadn't been home in 2 or 3 days. And they went and they knocked on the door where he was at. And they said, "We want to see Jesus." And he said, he asked who it was. And they said, it's your mother and your brothers. And he said, "Y'all, whoever does the will of my father is my brother, my sister, or my mother." Y'all, if we're willing to do what God's will, ask him to do what our will in our lives, ask his will for our lives, he's on our side. We got Jesus behind us.
Amen.
Helping us. Just as he's our brother, we're his. That puts us in there. That speaks volumes to me. And y'all, I've done kind of covered that once, but I'm going to say it again. Tomorrow, you want to know how to make life simple? Y'all, when I wake up in the morning, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to get to this. I got to get there. I got to see this. And looking at your phone, before our feet hit the floor, we should say, "Lord, one thing. What is your will for me today? What is your will for me today? Teach me, Lord. Teach me what your will is for me today." Think on that. And then let him put it in place. Instead, we just take off running like something crazy.
Yep.
Trying to do everything under the sun. Y'all, I'm talking to me. We're trying to do everything under the sun, running around. And it would be so simple to say, "Lord, what is your will for me today?" And y'all, I had this conversation with a boy this morning. And I don't know why we got on this, but he said, "My life's just so busy." He said, "I'm going on vacation this weekend, and I'd rather just stay home and do nothing. But I can't because I gotta go on vacation. I gotta be at the airport at Memphis at 3:00 in the morning. I'm getting back home Sunday night. And I got a meeting 9:00 in the morning." He said, "I just wish my life could slow down." And I said, "You know, it seems like that's what's happened to all of us. We're all just running. I said, you know what on Saturdays, me and my mom and daddy, we would go to town. And my mama bought things. It was kind of like Mayberry. Me and daddy would sit out on a beach. One of them wooden beaches, them 2x4s out there. Just sit there sometime waiting on her. We don't do that. Even I used to sit in the mall while Cindy shop. We don't do that. It seems like now we just see how much we can run, and our mind never at ease. And we never slow down to let the Lord say, "Listen to me. Listen to me today. Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you today." And y'all, there's a lot to that. It ain't the Lord keeping us busy.
That's right.
And y'all, I was over at Broken Life, and I said, you know, the Lord's got a will for your life. We don't never tell nobody that the devil's got a will for you, too.
Ooh, that's right.
Keep you busy. Let him keep you busy. I don't do nothing wrong. I don't do anything wrong. He just keeps me busy. Keeps you busy. You don't have time to sit down and think, "What can I do for the Lord today?" Y'all, I don't know if y'all believe this or not, but I believe God can speak to you just like I'm speaking to you right now.
Amen.
You can hear him in your head, and he can speak to you. And y'all, he spoke to me nearly a year ago. He said, "Randy, I want you to invite somebody to church." I hadn't talked to this person in 20 years or more. And he said, "I want you to invite him to church." It was 10 o'clock at night. I said, "Y'all, I'm not going to invite him to church." I said, "Lord, I'm not inviting him to church. I ain't talked to him, and I don't know when. It'd be awkward just to call somebody up. Hey, what you doing? You want to come to church?" And so I was in the shower. I get out of the shower. I go look at my phone. I don't have his number. I'm like, well, I don't have his number. It's too late to call him anyway. So I kind of brushed it off. Now, the next night, it just cleared the bell. You going to call him and invite him to church? I hadn't yet. I don't know. So a day or two went by and I didn't do nothing really bothered me no more. And y'all, it come right back at me. I want you to invite him to church. So I got his number. And 4 or 5 days went by and I just kept brushing it off. I didn't want to invite him to church. It was like I could hear him every night. Are you going to invite him to church? I'm asking you, are you going to invite him to church? Y'all, it was one there come one day about after lunch sometime. I said, I don't have any phone service. He said, well, go to where there's phone service. So I drove and I pulled over on the side road and I called him. Hadn't talked to him in years. And I said, I talked for about 5 or 10 minutes. Conversation was going pretty good. And I said, I called to invite you to church. I said, I just wonder if you'd like to come. I said, we're going there. We really like it. We'd like for you to come to church. He said, well, we come there years ago. We didn't like it. Y'all, I could have hung the phone up and I could have been happy. But I felt like there was more I needed to say. And I said, listen, hold on. I got more I need to tell you. I said, the Lord has laid it upon my heart to be obedient and to call you and ask you to come to church. Y'all, that took that pulled stuff out of me that I didn't want pulled out. I didn't want to tell. I didn't want to say that. But I said, he's asked me to call you because he wants me to be obedient. I said, I don't want to be no Jonah. I said, I don't want to get swallowed up by no whale. I'm just trying to be obedient. He kind of laughed about it. And he said, well, I tell you what, we might come. We talked for about 10 more minutes. I'm following up. Y'all, about 6 months goes by, and I never heard him ask me again. You going to invite him to church? That was over. Y'all, I was obedient. I did what I was supposed to do. What God asked me to do, he laid it upon my heart, and I did. And y'all, he goes to church here now, regular. And he's on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
And y'all, I'm not up here saying, look what I did. But I'm going to say it this way. Look what happened by me being obedient.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
How you look at it. It wasn't me. God was in it. They was ready to be at this spot. They was ready to do this. But God said, be obedient and do what I'm asking you to do. And just do it. Y'all, my grandkids is here right now. And if I was going to try to give them some advice, or anybody some advice, that's what I would want to say. I just want them to grow up to do God's will. Just think on that. I won't be, one day I'm not going to be here. And just think, I won't be there waiting on them to get there. And what could I ask more? What could I ask more? It's just for my kids to be worthy of God and be obedient. That's not try to train them how to make the most money, how to whatever they could do in life that's on this earth. I want them to be where I'm going. That's what I'm. Okay. How do we know what God's will is for our lives? How do we know what God's will is for our life? Now, I think first of all, what God's will for all of us, everybody here, is for us for salvation. I think that's the first thing that God wants. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be in heaven with Him. He wants us to live for Him. And that's for all of us. All of us. Second, how he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Y'all, that's, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Y'all, I had to come up here and get a Bible with big print in it. I found one. I realized I couldn't read my small print Bible. And y'all, he has called us to a holy life. And I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. And this covers some of what Brother Greg preached on. Finally, brothers, we instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will, there it is again, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not impassionate just like the heathen. But that's a big word. Not impassionate, just like a heathen. Who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life.
That's right. Amen.
Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Y'all say, and y'all, at the beginning, it was talking to the unmarried. In the middle there, it was talking to the married. And it's all of it. God expects us to live a holy life. And we say, God, I want your blessings. And we can say, but this is Sunday stuff here. But I got Friday night stuff I got to do. I got Saturday night stuff I got to do. I'll get back on this Sunday. And we expect God to bless us with the things that we're going to do out of here. And that's what God expects us. To live a holy, he expects it of us to live a holy life. We want to live a, God, a life worthy of God, and we want to do God's will. And it's pretty much saying if you're not married, then you got to abstain from all sex. And if you are married, women, you can have sex with your husband, and men, you can have sex with your wife. That's it. There's nothing else. Nothing else. That's it. And that's living a holy life. Y'all, the third thing on how do we know God's will, God's calling is a calling to serve. And y'all, I think a lot of us think what God's calling is for us to come to church, come up here and say a prayer with a preacher, get baptized, and go back and get in our seat and sit there for the next 40 years. And that's not serving. I don't think that's serving the Lord. I think God calls us to serve. He calls us to serve in here and out there.
Amen.
Both. Not just on Sunday, show up, sit in a chair. He calls us to serve. And I'm going to read Romans 12, 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. That's just good advice.
That's right.
Period. Yeah. We need to all say that to ourselves every day. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, if it is parking cars, let him park cars like nobody else can.
Amen.
If it's opening doors, let him open doors like nobody can.
Amen.
If it's cooking for others, do it. Every one of us, if you're in here breathing, there's something that you can do for the Lord to serve
Amen.
The Lord. It ain't just come to church and sit here. If you can't do anything else, you can call, check on the sick. That's something you can't say. You can't ask, I can't do anything now. You can call, check on whatever it is. Do it as in service for the Lord. If it's singing, sing. If it's playing up here on this stage, do it. They're not gonna ask me to come sing. Period. That's not my calling. But what my calling is, do it. Be willing to be used of God. Whatever it is. Y'all, that's kind of what all I've got to say, but I'm in 1 Peter 4:7, when I was reading this, it talks about time is near. Time is near, y'all. Y'all, we're like a fuse that's been lit. It's burning out. I want y'all to think about that. What do we want to do with that? And I'm going to say that again. Do we want to do it in God's will? Do we want to live it worthy of God? Y'all, some of our fuses is shorter than others. There's no doubt about that. No matter what age you are. We don't know when that is. And do we get so tied up in what we need to do on this world, in this world right here, that we forget about what God's will is for us? What do you think on that? And y'all, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to get Trent to come up here and sing. And if you feel like, I don't know if any of y'all in here is feeling like there's more that I could do. God, I am unworthy, but God, I want to be worthy of you. There's things that I can do in my life. And there's so many times that we know what God's will is for our life. I can't tell you what God's will is for your life, but you know what God's will is for it. And are you willing? I want us to just think on that. Is there any place, no place I'd rather be? No place I'd rather be. A lot of fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Do we really, really want that? Do we want that for ourselves? That's so much there. Oh, it's just so much there. I can't emphasize enough how this has touched me and showed me what I need to do. There's things in my life that I need to change. I have no doubt. If I want to put the things that's really important. I feel like right now we turn the news on and it's like, how much longer we got here, Lord? Do we just have a few days? Do we just have just, what is it? Is it fixing the end, or are you fixing to call us home? And y'all, that's what I say. As it first, and as it says, time is near. Time is near. I don't care if you got 40 years left or 50. Time is near, y'all. Let's so much that we value here on this earth, that one day somebody, it's going to be either somebody else's, but it's not going to be ours. We're going to leave it. We know that. The time is near.
I'd love for you to subscribe and maybe even leave a review. Y'all, it's absolutely free. And this way, you'll get a notification each time we have a new episode. We'll see you next week on the Real Walk Podcast.